This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Denny boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses fallen. It's you, must go, and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's
happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Boy, do we need some St. Patrick's Day happy, don't we? March 17th, every single year, everybody turns Irish, or they claim they're Irish, or they just wear green and have fun with it. But it's interesting, the origins and the backgrounds and of people that initially came to Ellis Island or came through Canada to get to the United States. And in Chicago, they dye the river green. In New York, they have a huge parade. In Boston, they have a huge parade. You certainly can get green donuts wherever you go, I would believe, in most donut shops to symbolize St. Patrick's Day. There's all kinds of interesting traditions and facts and history surrounding St. Patty's Day. St. Patrick was the patron saint of Ireland, and he was kidnapped at 16 and taken to Ireland as a slave. He escaped, and then the rest is history. Remember, people talk about St. Patrick driving the snakes out of Ireland, and he used the shamrock to explain the Trinity. Oh, my, so interesting. So interesting, again, like I said, the traditions, the shamrock, the green clothing, eating corned beef and cabbage. Maybe some of you will be doing that, or maybe you'll just have a lighter day in honor of St. Patrick's Day. I wish that for all of you. My name is Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. In the Ukraine, there is no merriment. It is really about the situation that continues to rage on in the Ukraine. It's been just over 3 weeks. The latest is Vladimir Putin took to the airwaves, and he warned scum traitors that Russians will spit them out like a midge that flew into their mouths. He said that the West's attempt to have a global dominance is coming to an end, and that they're trying to cancel Russia, everybody in the West. He also said that citizens are fighting for the country's sovereignty and the future of our children. And one of the latest things in Moscow's propaganda machine is they are trying to justify the Ukrainian war, but not calling it a war, claiming it is a denazification operation. That's the latest thing that now is being thrown out there. But it was pretty chilling to listen to the translation of Vladimir Putin warning just not just the West, but the oligarchs that they are the traitors. And it was a pretty wild television appearance for him. It really was. And it's interesting, Putin spoke as President Zelensky from the Ukraine spoke to a joint chambers of U.S. lawmakers in a landmark virtual address to Congress, where he talked about Pearl Harbor, the 9/11 attacks, Martin Luther King Jr. He called for greater Western intervention against Russia and is begging for a no-fly zone. And this is what's now going on. The Ukraine's prosecutor general confirmed that in a statement that an attack by Russian forces fired at people standing in line for bread near a grocery store. There's new drone footage that shows Russian soldiers executing a lone Ukrainian civilian as he held his hands up to surrender on a highway west of Kyiv. And so these are the kinds of images that are coming out of the Ukraine. And it doesn't seem as though anything is changing as far as what's happening with any kind of a progress toward peace. There's not even a mention of a peace or a process or any such thing. Sanctions continue to be placed on Russia by governments, not just the U.S., by governments around the world. Of course, in the U.S., blocking Russia's technology and imports, sanctions on banks and corrupt billionaires, blocking 13 major companies from raising money in the U.S. That's among the sanctions that we're seeing. In Australia, sanctions on 25 people and 4 financial institutions. And I'm giving you some examples. In Canada, sanctions against 38 people and entities, and also export permits for goods in aerospace and mining are canceled. And in New Zealand, they're saying they're cutting trade with Russia and they're imposing travel bans. And so we're seeing that there's more announcements that are coming with whatever sanctions that they can possibly, you know, tie to Russia. The fear is that will this turn into World War III? And that's something that you hear. This is part of the conversation in the U.S. What do you think that's going on? How stressful is it? What do you think the fallout's going to be for the United States, for the rest of the world? And we keep coming back to that answer I hate. We don't know. Does our military know? No, they only know what they can do with their brains in gathering the intelligence and look at what they believe the facts are and what's happening. But what will Putin do next? The answer is, who knows? We don't know, especially when he has the kind of address he has to his own people and how he's feeling and what ultimately the goal is, because there constantly is false stories about why the Russians are in the Ukraine in the first place. And to me, that's really the scariest part of all of this. But the Ukrainian people are digging in as they have their own pushback to try to knock the Russians on their heels and away from the capital city of Kyiv, because that's the goal, is to take over Kyiv and knock out the president. I mean, of course, assassinate the president. But so far, so good, it has not happened. All right, the big news on the day, besides the price of gas and the supply chain and how do you measure what's going on in the Ukraine and the big questions that surround where does it all end up, is that interest rates have moved for the first time in more than 3 years, and there's going to be apparently 6 more ahead. It could go all the way up to 1.85, and that's what it looks like. The Fed approved a quarter percentage point rate hike. As I said, the first time we've seen that since December of 2018, and the idea is the Federal Reserve doing that is that it's too hot out there right now, looking at what's happening in the housing markets, etc. So financial costs will be higher for consumers borrowing and credit. If you're looking to get a house, look out for those mortgages and the percentages to rise there. Credit cards, same thing. Gasoline also could be affected by that. Obviously, it's going to go up and up and up. All right, stay with us.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powder Yarko that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powder Yarko Super Tea at DrinkSuperTea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powder Yarko Super Tea is only available at DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Is All Glory to God, Intuitions of a Priest. Father Jose Lucero joins us. Father, thanks for coming on.
Sure. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very happy. Thank you.
So you and I had a great off-air conversation about all kinds of things that happened in your life that led you in a direction, really, of writing this book, including losing a brother in 2006 at just 30 years old. So let's talk about that. What was your road to deciding, I'm going to put this book together and put it out there in the world?
There were things that happened before my brother died, conversations that he and I had, and then he died, and then people who had kind of spoken about, oh, like his daughter, for example, was 3 years old. She's like, well, why is everybody sad? My papa's right here next to me. And things like that. And I thought, wow. I mean, I'd always heard that little children can see, you know, spirits or angels or even Jesus. And so after he passed, I started thinking about just telling his story. And then 2 years later, my sister passed. And so then I knew I needed to tell both their stories because similar things happened prior to her death, kind of intuitions that I had. And then, I don't know, I just thought to myself after a conversation she and I were having in August about Christmas, and it was just like, this is too much. And I thought, I wonder if she's not going to make it to next Christmas. And she passed November 13th. So we ended up having Christmas in August because of this intuition that I had. And so just things like that that happened, and just I started writing their story since 2008. It took me a long time to put all this together.
Yeah, no kidding. And so there's got to be incredible comfort in that, though, that, like, again, knowing that it's sort of this peaceful transition. I don't know how to describe it. You said, you know, there's a thing called a nominous dream. Tell us about that.
So sometimes people will dream and they'll say, I don't know if I had this dream or if it was real or if it was a dream. Like they go back and forth. Nominous dream is that something actually happened, but we weren't in our waking state to know that it happened because it seemed like it was just a dream. And typically people will tell these stories when they're asleep. They'll say somebody came to the foot of my bed and, you know, just I felt this spirit of peacefulness, or I just felt like somebody was trying to give me a message. And so that's what it's called, is a numinous dream, because, well, it's real. It was a real experience that somebody had, and perhaps it was a message that was meant to come across. And typically it's a message of peacefulness and just a message of joy. But the person who has passed on is at peace and is in, you know, experiencing joy.
What a wonderful gift to give to everybody to know that, because I know a lot of us struggle with this. A numinous, is that how you say it, dream. Wow, that is really something to think about. Tell us more about the book. What can people expect when they read your book, All Glory to God, Intuitions of a Priest?
Well, I was talking to my sister the other day, and she says to me, can I put it out there on Facebook that I just finished reading your book, and that if people want the book, they better have a box of Kleenex right next to them. So I think the idea behind it really is just to tell people, let them know, the reader know, that they can grieve. Grieving is natural. However, we're not supposed to grieve forever. And I think that's why I told these stories, to share, to kind of get it out. So the idea to help heal our grieving is to tell stories, to share stories of our loved ones. And in the telling of the story, our pain is moved to healing. Eventually, we're able to celebrate their lives as opposed to mourn their death forever. So that's the idea, is to help the person grieve, but then also to let them know, if you experience your loved one, like my sister who came to run her fingers through my hair one Christmas in 2010, and I was, of course, shocked. But, yeah, sometimes God allows them to reveal themselves to us, to let us know that they are, in fact, okay, that they are at peace, that they are in heaven, really. That's what we believe, right?
Right, yeah. So tell us about your sister. I mean, she was only 43 when she died, and you said you were shocked. So what happened?
The story of her running to her fingers through my
hand. Yeah, yeah.
So just kind of rewinding to the day that we were talking about Christmas, and I've always known that she loved Christmas, and I love Christmas so much, so we ended up having Christmas in August. So that she dies that November in 2008. In 2010, I was in one of my communities in San Francisco, and I was decorating for Christmas. I was decorating this Christmas tree that looked like a Snoopy Christmas tree, actually. We had to literally tie it to the wall so it wouldn't fall over. And it looked so beautiful at the end. It was about 3 in the morning when it was finally all decorated. And I thought, okay, I'm going to stay here and I'm just going to enjoy this beautiful tree. And then I said out loud, sister, I know you loved Christmas. And I'm just letting you know that I'm here. And I dedicate this tree to you. I just want you to be able to enjoy it as much as I enjoy it. And then she came and she ran her fingers through my hair. Of course, I fell back on the sofa, scared. But it was like, wow, how nice that her presence was there with me as I was talking to her.
When you talk to parishioners in the parish that you're in, do you talk about this? Do you give them that comfort and tell them about grief and it's okay to grieve and that you may see these things and it could be a peaceful experience?
I do. I every time I offer a mass of resurrection, a funeral, when somebody passes away, and during my sermon or homily during that particular mass, which is every time I have a funeral, I talk about this. To let people know it's okay to tell stories about your loved one. It's okay to talk to each other. And if you experience them, talk about that too, because it's real. It's not a figment of your imagination. And a gentleman here at the parish actually gave a beautiful example. He said that his father-in-law used to always come and run his fingers through his back, like whenever they were alive. Instead of giving him a handshake or a hug, he would say, hey, how you doing? And he'd run his fingers through his back. So when his father-in-law passed, he was in the back of his garden one day just talking or praying out loud, and his father-in-law came and ran his fingers through his back.
Wow.
And he said, and I just knew it was him because nobody's ever done that to me, just him. And he was letting me know that he is okay. So, yeah, I think people know this happens. Maybe they're just afraid to talk about it.
Yeah.
So the idea of this book is to say, don't be afraid to talk about it. It's real, and it's okay to talk about these things.
It's okay to talk about these things. You're right. All Glory to God, Intuitions of a Priest. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And I imagine you are a very peaceful person.
I can be. People always tell me when I sing or when I talk or preach, they tell me, your voice is so soothing and you put me to sleep or you bring me peace. People always tell me, especially when I sing. So I thought that was nice that people would notice that.
That's a nice, nice compliment. Father, thank you so much for coming on, and so interesting in talking about grief and how people should be able to let it out and how they should be able to let those feelings go through them. And it's very, very tough. I think it's one of the toughest things that people deal with in life. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for coming
on. Thank you. God bless you.
So interesting, I think, the thing with the anonymous dream. Do you ever have that where you're sleeping and you feel you wake up and it's weird, like time has sort of put you in a different space? I know what he's talking about. Or you feel like some sort of presence, and is it someone, you know, that transitioned in your life or something? I don't know, but I know exactly what he means by that. It's I think a calming feeling. If people feel like they're getting the visit from somebody they lost, because it's such a hard struggle to lose people. All right, and that's what we've been talking about so much, too much, with the Ukraine and, of course, the 3+ weeks now with Russia going toward the capital and obviously trying to knock off Zelensky, and Zelensky speaking to Congress today and pleading for some more help. And Putin speaking to his own people and talking about justification for what's happening in the Ukraine and going after the West, and also oligarchs, people who had a lot of money and that are not there in Russia but are in other parts of the world. A big warning was issued to all of those people. Quickly, I want to jump to this because I know now some of you are doing that spring break thing and you saved a couple of nickels. If you could save a couple of nickels and you're getting in a car or you're getting on a plane, it's interesting. Definitely prepare for this because Thanksgiving-like crowds, they say, are returning to security checkpoints and airport parking lots are filling up in popular destinations. So air travel is kind of coming back, maybe even more than airline execs thought, because they know it was coming back, but how quickly it's coming back. And of course, fuel for the airlines is the second biggest expense after labor. So tickets have started to tick up, right? Because the airline is trying to collect maybe another $40 or $50 per person to cover the rising fuel costs. What else is new, right? And if you are headed there, my big warning is just watch out for the parking and watch out for the long lines where you think you have more time and then you're stuck suddenly running in panic mode to try to get to the TSA, get through, and then get to your gate. And I'm headed there too. Coming up next week, I'm actually making two different trips. Actually, coming up this week, I'm making a trip to Florida, to the Tampa St. Pete area. So I'll fill all of you in as to what it was like in the TSA and getting through those long airport lines. More coming your way next.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
U.S.
USA Radio News.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky warned that World War III may have already started when Russian troops invaded his country. He also said, quote, civilization is at stake, unquote, during an American TV interview hours after addressing Congress on Wednesday. The United Nations Children's Fund announced that more than 1.5 million children have fled Ukraine since the war began. A judge in Honduras has ruled that former President Juan Orlando Hernandez should be extradited to the U.S. to face drug trafficking and weapons charges. Wednesday's decision can be appealed. Hernandez maintains that statements against him have been made by drug traffickers extradited by his government who wanted to seek revenge. He's denied any ties to drug traffickers. You're listening to USA Radio News. The trial against four men accused of plotting to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer will resume on Thursday. During the first 2 days of testimony, prosecutors introduced videos, messages, and secretly recorded conversations. The trial is expected to last several weeks. FEMA has been helping with funerals for people who died from COVID.
FEMA announced on Tuesday that its funeral assistance program has reimbursed more than $2 billion in funeral costs for more than 300,000 families of COVID-19 victims. The program provides up to $9,000 per funeral and covers COVID-related deaths since January 20, 2020. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Officials say nine people died in a fiery head-on collision in West Texas. The dead include six New Mexico University students and a coach, as well as a 13-year-old boy. This is USA Radio News.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Joins us, and she is talking about a story that is very personal to her and her father, James Strode, who wrote this book, Embracing Autism, One Father's Fight for His Wonder Boy. Thank you so much, Arhelia, for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about bringing this story to life. First of all, for your dad and for writing this story, what was that like? It had to be very personal.
Yeah, you know, it took him, I think, from start to end, maybe about four or five years to actually complete it. And it was, I mean, it's a very personal book, and he did do quite a bit of research as he was writing the book and as he was working with Jimmy. So it was just a very personal experience, and that's why this book is so important to us.
Yeah, so let's talk about the story. Let's talk about Jimmy. What was Jimmy like?
Yeah, so when he was first diagnosed, he was just such a bubbly kid, and he still has this smile that he smiles, and he gets like a little sparkle in his eye. When you see him smile, he laughs. You just can't help but smile or laugh with him. He's just such a charismatic and loving boy. But as he got older, from the time he was born until he was diagnosed around two and a half, we started to notice some changes where he started to become a little bit more quiet and wanted to kind of be left alone. At one point, we actually thought that maybe he just had hearing problems, so he got his hearing tested. But throughout the years, he's maintained that charismatic and that sweet personality, and kind of our goal is to just help that shine even brighter. He's such a smart kid. His reading, his comprehension is just right where it should be, or maybe even above. He's 14 years old. He's just so smart, so sweet, and he has a good sense of humor, too.
And it's so interesting because in this book, like, a lot of people are now starting to understand autism better. But then when it's your family and you don't know, it's like you say the diagnosis, and that's the book that your dad wrote, Embracing Autism, One Father's Fight for His Wonder Boy, because he had to fight against what people thought. He had to fight against other people being ignorant. He had to fight against all kinds of things. And even there's a chapter called Anger, Its Cause and Cure. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so anger, I would say, is probably one of the most important chapters in this book for so many reasons. One, when you receive that diagnosis, I think you feel a little bit of anger and fear. You don't know what the future holds for your child and for your family. But then as you progress throughout the years and you kind of start to see more of these behaviors, especially now with Jimmy being a teenager, you know, he's a teenager, but he's also on the spectrum, which some of the behaviors are the typical behaviors that you would see in a teenager, but there's also other behaviors. He's very into, like, sensory stuff, so he likes to rub chalk. It can get very messy, and communication is very difficult. So that can create a lot of anger in the parents, because typically you tell a child, hey, please don't do this. Maybe you have to repeat yourself once or twice, and then the child understands. But with a child on the spectrum, it can take 30, 40 times of repetition and consistency for them to actually understand what you are asking of them.
Yeah.
And that can definitely create, you know, anger. But what James, my father, tries to address in this book is if you're looking at the behavior as just a behavior, it can lead to more anger. But if you're able to kind of the behavior more, I guess, holistically, like what's causing the behavior, then you're able to better deal with it.
And we're speaking with Arhelia Salgado. Her father's book, James Strode's book, is Embracing Autism, One Father's Fight for His Wonder Boy. Jimmy was special to the whole family, right? And the family realized this no matter what. After the diagnosis, that was fine. And it certainly, it was interesting relationships throughout the family. So what was the relationship like for you?
Jimmy is 12 years younger than I am, so for his entire life, I've been kind of like a mother figure, and we've always been super close. And I was away for a few years, but now I've moved back home, or not home, but I'm in the same city. And that relationship is just still very close. Anytime he achieves a new milestone, I just, you know, I get happy as if it were my own kid, because I know how difficult each, even the smallest milestone, like when he said his first word, bubbles, or one of his first words, that was just like such a wow. You know, like maybe when your kid graduates from college, that's kind of how I would compare it. There's just so much excitement because you see him achieving new milestones and you see, okay, well, if he can do this, then maybe now we can work on this. And that's the goal with Jimmy. We want to get him to reach his highest potential.
And, wow, what a great story of, again, the difference of your ages and then how your relationship is with Jimmy. Fear of criticism is the very first thing in the book, and fear of criticism has to be hard for a father. And he talks, your dad talks very openly about that, saying that, you know, there's just all this speculation. And then what do? You blame the other person. And, you know, you look at the rest of your kids and you try to figure out what it is and just what it's like to go through that. And so you being the age you were, you watched the family really tackle this from the beginning to all these breakthroughs. Is it like night and day from how it is now with Jimmy to what it was like in the beginning? It would have to be.
I think in the beginning it was more emotionally hard because everything was so new. And as you mentioned, there was so much that was unknown. Autism was just still like relatively new, or at least the diagnosis of it was. So having a child diagnosed with autism was just like, wow, like what does this mean for my child? Right now, 12 years later from when Jimmy was diagnosed, I think it's a little bit more of a mental struggle because, as I mentioned, it is difficult. We're not only dealing with a teenager, we're dealing with a teenager on the spectrum. He's still mostly nonverbal, so we're still working on that communication. But he is just, even in the past 6 months, his transformation, the amount of growth he has had despite the loss of our father, has just been, like, tremendous. So, you know, we have high hopes for his future.
So, you know, it's interesting you say that it's got to be tough. Because for him, he loses the anchor, his dad. I mean, all of you, it's tough for all of you. So does he have the community of people around him to help?
Oh, yeah. We are so blessed. We have such a strong, loving, and helpful village surrounding Jimmy, surrounding the entire family. My older siblings and I were there daily to help him, to help mom. And we've taken him to therapy. We've had somebody come into the home and kind of work with him, dealing with the grief. And he's thriving. Dad was his person. They had a relationship like I've never seen before. They just kind of understood and got each other. So it's been a tremendous loss for all of us, but I think especially for Jimmy, because being able to connect with someone on that level is something that doesn't just happen overnight. But he's doing really well. I mean, he's happy. Or at least we're getting there.
Right. He's happy. That's wonderful. What do you hope people take away from reading this book, Embracing Autism, One Father's Fight for His Wonder Boy?
I think the biggest thing is to parent confidently. Trust in yourself, in your intuition. You definitely need to do some research because you need to know what options are available. But when it comes down to it, most of the answers are going to come from inside your home based on observing your child. Because you can read a book and you can find maybe 5-6 different options that might work for a certain behavior. But until you try at least one or two of those options, you're not going to know what is effective. So just parent confidently, trust your intuition, seek out resources. There's so many resources out there, but most of them are not widely known. You have to look for them, but just know that they are out there.
Wow, that's great advice, to look for those resources, that there is a community. Don't be afraid to reach out, because I think that happens, right? You talk about that in the beginning where you're dealing with it, trying to figure it out, but there's other people that can help you navigate it. I think it's wonderful that this book is out there, and it's a great tribute to your dad, what he did, and there it is out in the world, and you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Embracing Autism, One Father's Fight for His Wonder Boy, James Strode's book, and his daughter, Arhelia Salgado, joining us to talk about that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was such a wonderful opportunity to talk about my father's book.
well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Is with us. His book is called Gray Feathers, Led by Love of Country. Wait till you hear his story. Daniel, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. I'm glad to talk to you.
Let's talk about what Gray Feathers is all about. Take us back to the late 60s and where you were.
I had the fortunate or unfortunate experience of being assigned to the 3rd Battalion, 12th Infantry in the 4th Infantry Division. And the battalion was stationed in the Pleiku Anke area, which is right at the tri-border area of Vietnam. It's a border of Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. It was an area where the infiltration routes of the NVA lined up to Highway 19, which was a main supply route toward Quy Nhon. Many operations were in that area. It was a very difficult area to go through. Is heavy vegetation, heavy jungle area, in a mountainous region.
Yeah, so you were there with machetes, just having to every day hack away to where you were going, right?
We had to use machetes a number of times, yes.
Wow. And you and I talked about this, which, I mean, I want the listeners to really think about this every day when you got up. I mean, obviously, you were in the middle of war. You know, who knew it was going to happen every single day? And in that group, weren't you, like, second in line because you were the guy that really knew the maps?
Well, I always chose to be either number two or number three and have the point person in front of me because it's easier to control. Because going through the mountain, they didn't have GPS back then. It was all through a topographical map. And by using the topographical map, we had to go through around and through hills and stream beds. So it was a very difficult way of traversing the terrain. I was fortunate. I read the map correctly most times. But I did make a few mistakes here and there.
And if you made a few mistakes, what did that mean? That meant enemy fire, maybe.
Our own fire, actually.
Yeah. Whoa.
We had to worry about friendly fire and enemy fire when you make a mistake.
Yeah, no kidding. How close was this unit? I mean, when you're in the middle of it, you were in the thick of it. What were the guys like? What was that like?
You know, people work together in adverse circumstances, and that's what really happened in the war. Because you're always under tense, you always feel the tension. And you can sleep more than 2 hours at a time because you always want to see what's going on. So you have sleep is not really something you do. You sleep out in the open underneath a poncho or what they call a jungle blanket, and you're prepared to get out at a minute's notice. So it's very tense. And those are the problems that you have in your leadership because most days things don't happen. But when it does, it's really a big combat area and a lot of fire that you have to go through when that day comes.
Yeah, and that's one of the things you talk about in your book. It's you show how difficult it can be. You have to make decisions when you're under fire, even if you're enlisted, whether you're an officer or whatever. It's the pure pressure of being in battle. You got to make the decisions. You got to look at the movements. And you were supporting units like helicopter, gunships, F-4 Phantom pilots, supply transporters. So you also had a big job. You never knew what that was going to be, right?
That's right. You did not know from day to day. And, you know, the greatest thing, though, everybody worked together. We worked as a decision body. We worked in trying to improve our lot with the enemy. I mean, it was a cohesive group that I was a part of.
Yeah. You know, you talked about it in the very beginning. You were talking about this main supply route that was that the field was Highway 19. And the Highway 19 was, paint that picture for us. I mean, look, you could have mines there, right? You could be ambushed at any moment.
Yes, and that's where the French lost all their soldiers at, and from an ambush on Highway 19. Years before we were in Vietnam. Highway 19 is just a paved road, and it's a very small two-lane road going several miles into the country of Vietnam. And Quy Nhon and Pleiku are the main players between those two cities. We had tanks go down that road. We had mostly our convoys go down that road, but I've been ambushed several times while traveling with a convoy on that road.
Yeah, wow. Crazy. So, Gray Feathers, tell us about the book. What are the kinds of stories and impactful things that you impart about decision-making that we'll learn by reading your book?
Well, part of it is how you react in battle, the kind of tactics and operations that were used, such as blocking forces, having ambush patrols at night, what do the long-range reconnaissance patrol bring to you, what happens when you attack and format, and what kind of things do you do during an attack, what kind of defensive position that you maintain even without cover, because a lot of times you're out in the field and there's no cover around to stop the bullets or stop the shrapnel from coming towards you. So it's a very tense time on each of the battles that I was in. One of the battles I remember is we had a hill where all the enemy were on top of the hill, and they were shooting down at us, which is probably the worst position that we could be in. And we decided in my platoon to go up. It was a heavy cliff that we climbed up to get to the top. It surprised the enemy and we were able to capture a number of them before they left. So it was something you always seem to remember, climbing that steep, I don't know, maybe 50 feet. It seemed like a forever when you're climbing something like that. But it did surprise the enemy during that time. And there are other instances where you try to rescue people during the time of contact, and under heavy contact, you try to control the withdrawals and move off the contact site to safety. And that's become very tricky as you go through the contact site.
Yeah, and we're speaking to Daniel DeWald. The name of the book is Gray Feathers, Led by Love of Country. Get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold, as I like to say. So Gray Feathers is significant, the term Gray Feathers, which is why you named the book this. Tell us what Gray Feathers means.
Gray Feathers is an Indian term. When braves first get into the tribe, they are given a gray feather for becoming just a member. And as they progress through their tribes and accomplish things, colored feathers are given to them. So if you look at the chiefs, you'll see a lot of multiple different colors in their headbands. And basically, I felt that'd be a good theme because you watch each other's back. You make sure that everyone's going to survive, and you make sure that you always try to work for the best for the platoon and for your company to make headway into the war and try to work together. And I think that made us lose less people, although every day it was always because bullets know no names. So yeah. You have to really watch.
For you, what was it like coming back after all of that every day intense camaraderie, watching each other's back, lack of sleep, making those quick decisions? What was it like when you leave the immersion of that and then come back to the U.S.?
You know, in 2 years, that's how long I was away, you come back to a complete change. People over here were not really used to the war. They had no, they didn't really sacrifice for the war. It was just people over there by newspaper reports. People were protesting the war. It was just different coming back. It didn't seem like people had respect for the uniform when you came back. But it takes a while for you to get your feet back on the ground and survive in a civilian life.
Yeah, I bet. And thank you for your service. What do you hope people take away, Daniel, from reading this book?
I want them to understand the sacrifice that people made to be in the war, the loyalty that they gave to the country, and the strength that the men had to make things happen in the war. It was a difficult war because there wasn't any fronts. You were hit from all sides when you were in the war, and it was difficult to achieve winning. And I think that's the hardest part about the Vietnam War. It's hard to win. And then at the end, we couldn't win over the people, and that's who made their government. So we lost the entire reason we were there. So I think that's the hard part about learning about it. But it's by love of country that we served, and we did our best in our to serve correctly.
Yeah, well, this book is a great book, and it really does take you back, absolutely. And it's Gray Feathers, Led by Love of Country, Daniel DeWald. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Good talking to you.
You too.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.